It's that time again. We go beyond the jive. Join our hosts, John Swan and Natalie B.
Brave the sting of beekeeping to reap the sweet rewards.
All you Hive Jive junkies out there, this is the Hive Jive. Jive.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello again.
It sounds familiar. I think we've done this before.
It does sound familiar. We have done this before. And I was going to say, for a split second, suddenly my screen was like uber bright. I apologize for that. It's having seizures apparently today. And I said this in the last iteration of this recording that nobody will ever hear because we didn't make it very far. But I'm going to say it again because it is it's just as good of an excuse as anything. But I've had Pop-Tarts for dinner. And I'm on my second glass of wine, and it is apparent because we couldn't even make it through the first recording. But the sugar and alcohol is what is fueling me and keeping me awake and functioning at the moment. So bear with us.
John is lying.
I am, but at the same time, like, I couldn't read. When we first did this, we talked about how, you know, spring was getting close and the bees are getting excited. Depending on where you're at in the country, there's already tons of brood down in like southern Texas and moving up into central Texas. Up here where I'm at in the central part of the United States, all of the certain types of trees, let me rephrase that. So the Bradford pears are all starting to bloom and a lot of the other flowers and trees are starting to leaf out a little bit. We have crocuses everywhere. We've got daffodils everywhere. The tulips are coming up, but they haven't started blooming. So like spring is here. And looking at the long range forecast for my area, we really don't have any more chances of snow. And we don't really have any more deep freezes that are forecast over the next 3 months. So that kind of tells me, like, oddly enough, we're done, which is not the normal for where I'm at. So.
Okay, so I was going to say, I did see the front page of the news yesterday that were saying that the U.S. was in for like a whole cold front, like even snow potentially in a lot of the states above Texas.
Yeah, supposedly. But yeah. We, you know, and it's always when you try to do a long range forecast that's several months out, like, honestly, they can't get it right half the time from day to day. I swear to God, they throw darts at a board. So, you know, that's the only, my mom liked to joke that it's the only job where you can literally be wrong every day and still get paid and get to keep your job.
Right. Nobody really cares.
Right. It's like, we were close. But so that being said, everybody's getting in the mood to start doing beekeeping, or either they already have bees and you're really excited to get into the next season, or it may be your first year getting bees. And a lady who had just started a lady who has just started listening to the podcast reached out and had a question about a apparatus that she had seen that is specifically for top bars. And I had never seen it before. I had never even heard of it. So I forwarded it over to you, Natalie, and to get your take on it. And you said that you had actually heard about it, but I had not.
Yeah, I saw that a couple of years ago, and I thought that was intriguing. I thought that was very creative, and I was curious as to really the advantages of it without... So you got to remember that Les Crowder and I are minimalists. We just keep it simple. We don't even put guides on our bars because we already have existing comb. So we're just kind of keeping it simple.
Right.
And so we're not about to usually go and buy stuff like that. However, I know you mentioned you did the same thing, but I ordered a set to kind of put it in practice and test it and see if it has any kind of features that I might like. However, I would say we tend to keep the price down on everything. So it's not, and we manage about 300 colonies.
Yeah, so it's not something you could afford to do with all the colonies.
Yeah, on that. We're just going to test it though.
Yeah. And I, as you said, I did the same thing. So we both have ordered a set. I don't know if you did the set of 10 or 20? I did the set of 20. So did I. And it's not bad. So, okay. So to backtrack and say, like, what the hell are you guys talking about? So the item that this lady had seen is called the Safe Passage Comb Guide. And it is a over the top of the comb in a top bar hive comb guide. So it's supposed to add all these additional benefits. But the very first thing that jumped out to me was this paragraph. And this is why I wanted to pull it up so that I could actually read it. Traditional top bar comb guides and starter strips attached directly to the bar, preventing the bees from moving over the top of the comb. The Safe Passage Comb Guide's unique design creates a passage directly above the comb and below the top bar that runs the entire length of the comb. As a result, the bees are able to move freely about the hive, passing around all four sides of the comb. So let's stop right there.
Yeah.
That's impossible in nature. Unless the colony is an open air colony that is mangled up in a mass of limbs and twigs, there's never a way for the bees to pass completely all the way around every bit of the comb. It's not how that works. If you can pass around all four sides, your comb is magically floating in the air.
Right. Well, and it's kind of what the system is kind of doing. It's suspending the comb below the bar, and it's just kind of tied by just three or four little attachments, because it's a building from that system down, and then there's a passage underneath the bar. So it is floating.
So that was my very first thing. And that was the response that I sent back to the listener was, so in this instance, I personally, and I haven't got them, I haven't tried them, I've just read the articles and watched the videos and stuff, but I personally feel like this is another one of those, we are inventing something to solve a problem that does not exist from the bees' perspective. And I need to preface that, the bee's perspective. This is a cool beekeeping gadget that falls in line with lots of all of the other beekeeping things that are for the beekeeper, not necessarily for the bees. So we've talked about many times, Natalie, you've said it again and again, when we talk about how the bees build their comb, they start at the top of the structure. They attach the comb to the top of the structure and they expand outward and downward until they fill the volume of the cavity. But the comb is attached solid all the way across that. It doesn't matter if it is the cavity of a tree, if it is in a hollow from like a cave or a little dugout, or if it's in your house, in the eaves of your house or under your house. They go to the top of the structure, they attach the comb there, and then they build out and across from that. So there's never an instance where they can go all the way across the top of their comb, because the top of the comb is attached to the top of the surface. And the more attachment area they have there, which is also one of the good reasons of having the 19-inch top bar, the more surface area attachment they have, the more sturdy and stability that that comb has, the more sturdy the comb is, and the more stability the comb has to support the weight of all of the honey and everything else and all the bees hanging off the comb and all this other stuff that goes on. So that was my initial impression right there, was like, I don't really know that that's necessary. So to flip it over to a Langstroth perspective, in some Langstroth foundations, in the plastic foundation, there are little corner cutouts that you can punch out, which does make a passage on either side of the comb. But the reasoning for that is because in the Langstroth comb, with the actual wooden frame around it, when you put it into the box, oftentimes there's not actually space for the bees to walk around the comb. They have to go under the comb. Mm-hmm. So they're giving them a passage from there. In nature, once in a blue moon, the bees will chew a hole, usually about the size of a nickel, somewhere in the comb that actually does act as a passage where they can go around it or through it. But it's not all over the place, and it might be every so many comb before you find another one. And it's certainly not the entire length of the comb. They don't do long horizontal tunnels through their comb. That would mess up the stability. So all of that being said, that does not negate the fact of whether or not this device works. And that's going to be kind of what we hash through today, is from a hypothetical standpoint, because neither of us have actually received them yet. We haven't got to test them yet, but we will test them, and then we'll do a follow-up later and tell everybody what we think about them. But how do we feel about these Safe Passage comb guards or guides attached to a top bar?
So first, the positive. I really like the little wavy shape that he's using as the base for the comb, like a guide, basically. He says that it's encouraging festooning and therefore probably the bees following the guide that you've given them. So I want to see that. I think that from that standpoint, that's super creative. The other aspect of things that I think is positive is when are trying, we don't recommend pollen patties for various reasons. But if you do want to feed pollen patties, there's not really an easy way to do it in the hive. So if that's your jive, that's an easy way to do this. And he's laughing because
in your hive, if that's your jive,
right? Then you can place little pieces of pollen patties there. And then he says that it helps circulating treatments, which we don't do and don't recommend either. But for those of you, if that's your jive again, then maybe that's something that you can consider.
Yeah. On the treatment note real quick, because that was one of the things that I was going to go through and mention as well. So if you do decide that that's the method of beekeeping that you're going to follow and you're going to do treatments for whatever reason, all of the treatments have been designed for Langstroth colonies, and it makes it very difficult to try to adapt those into a top bar hive. And one of the biggest things is that a lot of those treatments are designed to go on top of the brood, set on top of the frames, which naturally have gaps between them. Your top bar does not. And that allows the whatever it happens to be, if it's off gassing fumes or whatever, it allows that to then settle down and kind of filter down through between the combs. You can't do that in a top bar. There's no way to put it above the comb because that's above the bars and then it's outside of the hive. If you put it below them, it doesn't have the effect that it necessarily should because it's not able to drop. A lot of that gas is heavier, so it falls as opposed to rising up. So those are some things that, yes, if you actually have this little gap, and he did mention that the gap is only big enough, it's bee space basically, it's like 3/8 of an inch, only big enough for the bees to pass through there, not big enough for them to want to draw burr comb and things like that, like you would find on a Langstroth between the top of the bottom box and the bottom of the next box on those frames. They love building burr comb there. Well, there's not that much space, but there is enough space. You could potentially slide a tray in there of the thymol treatment or possibly even one of the strips of the formic acid, something like that. And then the same thing with that pollen patty. If you have a flat, thin pollen patty, you can slide it into these gaps and it will support it above the brood where the brood can actually, the nurse bees can take it down and get it to the brood in a more efficient manner, you know, so to speak. These are things that you normally can't do in a top bar. So these are kind of adding some flexibility and some diversity to how you can manage a top bar by having these included inside there. But again, it is not required from the bee's perspective.
No, it's not. And it's not the only way to do some of the pollen patties. Yes. However, I would recommend if you are going to do any kind of pollen supplementation, first of all, real pollen is best because other than that, the research from Emily Nordyke is a compilation of basically a review of a compilation of research that's kind of showing that feeding pollen patties or protein pollen substitutes is really not good for the bees overall. And then it's also talking about how if you're going to feed real pollen, then you can provide potentially some benefit, but that's not usually what's in pollen supplements. The bees will not store pollen powder. If you put it in the hive, they would have to go and forage it outside of the hive. And then the pollen patties, they will absorb them, but that's because they're mixed with sugar syrup to make it and a few essential oils or whatever to try to make it more palatable. So basically they're looking for the sugar and being force fed the protein. That's not the protein that they would find in nature. The treatments, I think to your point, you could do the strips in between bars. I've seen other beekeepers do that. If that's something you want to really do. And then I'm not sure that little wafers from some or trays or whatever from whichever treatment that is that does that. I'm not a specialist of treatments.
Yeah, I don't know how thick they are. I don't know if they would truly fit.
I don't know if they would fit, but yeah. So from that standpoint, there might be some advantages. Excuse me. I was in the yard and there was smoke, so I'm always coughing afterwards. So that was kind of the benefits of this.
There's also, he says, the airflow, the circulation of the airflow. It actually allows the heat at the top to be able to be moved. And I don't know necessarily, considering it's such a small gap, it could be beneficial because then it could let the heat between two combs possibly pass over to the next one or something. But it's also going to allow that heat to be able to go up to the top and spread and potentially dissipate not necessarily stay right there where the bees are. But they do mention that better circulation and ventilation, be that for heating or cooling, allow the bees to be able to take care of their colony a little bit better. But again, in nature, they would not have that ability because the top would be solid all the way across there. So,
right. So they do that for a reason. The bees do that for a reason. And my big thing is just the same as putting a spacer at the top of a Langstroth or putting screen bottom boards or doing cross ventilation with entrances on both sides. All that is kind of interfering with the way the bees are trying to keep their temperatures and their humidity levels inside the colony, and makes it probably harder for them to maintain homeostasis. So when you're leaving a gap at the top of the comb, it might be actually counterproductive because you might actually make it that much harder for them to maintain those temperatures and circulate the air in a way that's efficiently controlled by those venting bees, the ones that are circulating everything. And to your point, maybe that heat might dissipate, but it might also be harder to cool the hive because of this. Again, it's all about the configuration of the combs, and that's what the bees are going for. If you mess with that, you're probably messing with their control. Right. So from that standpoint, I'm like, I'm not so sure. I don't think I agree with that at all.
Right. So one of the other things that could be a negative, and I don't know yet, this will be when we actually get it in. So it is precision cut from Baltic birch plywood, and it's laser cut, and it's not, from the images, it's not uber thick. So I wonder how sturdy it is, because it says Baltic birch plywood, but for whatever reason, when I looked at it and then when I read that, the first thing that came to my mind was balsa wood, which is not necessarily uber thick and sturdy. So you've got this thing that is now suspended down, and it is screwed in with four screws, I think, that hold it into the bar. But all of the comb and all of the weight is now attached to this one thing. And they've got a couple of little places where they have done indentations where you can snap it. So if you have a smaller bar size, you can actually reduce the size of this comb guard or guide by snapping off the ends and making a little bit narrower, a little bit shorter. So it just makes me wonder, what is that going to do to the full weight of the comb? And also so the bars are 1 3/8 inch thick minimum. Sometimes people do 1.5 if it's going to be a honeycomb bar, and they will actually make that comb go all the way across that bottom surface of the bar, with the center ridge line being right in the middle. So if you've got this little thing hanging down there, is it going to reduce the amount of surface area? And then can this wood, this birch, Baltic birch plywood, support the weight of that comb? Because we already know, if you're doing a top bar, if you pick that bar up and you tilt it and you twist it, the comb can already be in danger of breaking or ripping off of there. So what happens if this other thing isn't sturdy enough, and therefore it fails and causes the comb to collapse or break or fall because it can't support the weight? So that's a curiosity that I'm looking forward to testing out and seeing whenever I actually have it in play in a hive.
So here's my thoughts. So I'm not convinced I want to, use a lot of that in my hives. I want to test it. But here's my thought. I have some packages that, customers want to install. And maybe what I'm going to do is I'm going to use one per colony to try to give them started on the straight. Because if that scalloped edges is encouraging them to festoon and is a strong motivation to build along that line, then half of the battle is already won on your package. And you don't have to do guides or anything after that. I'm going to try to do one per and see if they take on that And then maybe that'll get my package installations going on straight with minimal effort.
That would be that. See, that would be to my advantage, because at the moment, the bear destroyed any top bar comb that I had. Okay. So I have Langstroth stuff and I've got excess of that that I could be able to use. And I've got drawn comb. But again, it's all in a Langstroth frame with foundation. That right. doesn't really do me any good for the top bar. And I am looking at expanding 5 additional top bar hives that are straight top bars, plus repopulating the one that we talked about that had the conversion piece in it, where I can do the Langstroth nuke and they build out into it. And then also repopulating the Langstroth hive itself. So I don't know. I'm going to try. But if I think if I take those 20 and I divide them out equally between the other hives, I should be able to have a couple in each one. And like you said, maybe that will tempt them to go. And maybe right. I will also, you know, do a tiny brushing of wax or something on them just to give a little bit of the smell and just to help encourage them to be like, hey, yes, this is really cool shape. You should go there. And it also has wax and smells like bees. So go there, like do it there.
Yeah. So this is exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking about rubbing some wax on the scallop edges. I would not dip it in wax or coat it in wax or anything like that, because the bees have a much better way to attach their combs than if we mess with it and pre-wax it. It's a lot more strong when the bees are doing it themselves.
They actually fuse it to the surface with wax and propolis, and it's bonded and glued way better, especially for anybody who's ever tried to scrape that shit off of a bar. It's hooked on there. But if you go and you just like melt wax and drip it on there, you can almost pop it off with your finger. So it's not the same type of attachment. They do a whole lot of different stuff to the process to get it to work. So I 100% agree with that aspect. Don't dip it, don't coat it, but just put a little bit somewhere on there so that it has that smell and scent, because that helps draw them to it.
Right. So I really like your suggestion to not use all of them in one hive, but maybe one in each of the hives that you're getting started, or packages that you're installing, or to have one to do. If you do want to do some pollen patties, then you have that one that you can do and place that stuff in. So
yeah. And the bees are going to tell us too, like as we go through this process and we put them in the hives and we're seeing what the bees are doing with it, they're going to answer a lot of these questions for us, because my first iterations of top bar hives, when I built them, they had 2 entrances. They had 2 ventilation ports, 2 entrances, one in the front lower left and one in the middle. Ventilation port, upper back middle, and then upper back opposite right. And what do the bees do every time? They completely propolize them off and seal them. They just wanted their one entrance. They didn't want all the extra stuff. So I kind of have a feeling, even though the gap is not so big that they would want to draw burr comb, that does not mean that they will not fill it in if it is causing a problem with airflow and other things like that. Exactly. They'll close it off if they don't like it. So if we put these in and we end up finding that they've closed it down and left 2 or 3 little holes here or there, well, then we're right back to what they would have done in nature. And that's the bee's way of saying, that's a bit excessive. I didn't really need that, but I'm okay with a passage here or there. I just don't need it all the way across the top of my comb.
Well, and to your point, I mean, that's the other thing. The way this is designed, there's 2 big opening, actually 4. There's some on the edges and there's 2 in the center because they've got 3 attachments. And so maybe that's a little excessive. Maybe just having a passage in the center might be something that might work a little bit better, like something smaller.
Yeah.
Why is it that big? Is it to fit the pollen patties? I'm guessing that's what it's for.
I don't know. It depends on what it was designed around. Was it designed around the concept of purposefully allowing you to put the pollen patties up there, and that was the purpose of this? Or was it designed around the aspect of the ventilation and having the excess space? And then they just said, oh, well, now that we've got this space, what else can we, you know, market it for or use it for? But ultimately, when it comes down to it, at the very end of it, I still think, without seeing them and using them yet, that it is a novel, clever idea that is designed for the beekeeper and is solving a problem for the bees that does not exist.
Maybe potentially having unintended consequences, again, creating some other issues. So there's 4 advantages that are listed on the website. Improved overwintering because of the added passage above the comb and the mobility increase. Enhanced breed feeding with the pollen patties. straighter comb with a wavy edge that promotes festooning and better ventilation. So supposedly better control, better moisture control and better temperature control. I would say personally, I'm guessing both the improved wintering and better ventilation is actually counterproductive on this. I can see the purpose if you're wanting to feed pine patties, and I can see potentially, I want to see if that works with a straighter comb with the festooning. So I see only two. And since I don't use pine patties, for me, I'm looking at the building the straight combs on packages.
Yeah, I don't do the pollen patties either. If I do pollen, it's going to be the dry pollen substitute that I put out and let them find it if they need it. And I haven't done that in a while. So
what I do have to say is that it's very reasonably priced. So like the 220 starter strips are about $38.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's like $35 plus tax or something like that. Comes out around $38. Yeah.
Dollars a piece. Yeah. It's still expensive though. If you look at it, if you're going to equip all your colonies full, you know, of those, that's not even a full Tabar hive right there. $40. That would be too expensive.
But, well, right. Yeah. Because depending on what dimensions and schematics you've built your top bar off of, my top bars typically have 38 to 40 bars in them. So I would need to do two packs of these if I was going to fill up an entire top bar, which would mean I'm spending close to $80 after tax and shipping. Right. And $80, as you well know, if you're thrifty and frugal, you can build a top bar for $80.
Double top five for less than that for $50 to $60. Exactly. So
yeah,
I think that it might be an option that I can add like one bar per the hives that we have made.
Yeah, just to see.
I can't talk either. I mean, this is one of those nights where.
What's your excuse? Mine's in this sugar, blue jar.
I don't have sugar. I don't have liquor.
It's counterproductive. It does not necessarily, it makes you talk faster, but it does not make you talk prettier.
So I think that the jury's out. I think that there's potential for some advantages, not as many as are listed, and potential for issues if you've got it throughout the entire hives. That's the way I'm looking at it.
I would agree. So we shall see. They will be here. Hopefully, fingers crossed, mine will be here before my new packages of bees arrive so that I can have them in the top bar to start off with. Because again, that's kind of the whole point, is let's give them this as a starter comb to be able to see what they will do with it and see if it really does encourage them to start there, or if they wind up on the other side of the colony where they're not supposed to, the other side of the hive.
Yeah, I think that for packages, it's a good testing point.
Yep. And I will have five packages, fingers crossed, coming between April and the very beginning of May. The last part of March and throughout April, I'll have random packages arriving two at a time. So we shall see.
I'm not kidding anymore. I'm not doing that one or two kind of a thing. I'm going, you know, a little bit larger this time, right?
Yeah. Well, so I'm going to go ahead and do the packages. And then I've got two nukes ordered from the same gentleman that I got the last two from last year. And I've got swarm traps, and I've got other places that I've already identified for swarm traps. And I have decided that I'm going to stop with the, you know, whatever container I can find kind of swarm trap. I am going to actually go build me some of my old removal boxes, but build them in the 2x and make it to where they are 12 to 14 bars. So basically enough for an entire colony to live in it if they had to, but no excess honey stores. And I'm going to use those as my swarm traps. I will go through and coat the inside of them with some stuff to help, you know, attract the bees in, and I'm going to put them in some strategic places. And then if the bees do move in, look at that. They're already in a top bar. I can just plug and play right out of that into a hive.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that should be fun. I'm doing the bucket swarm trap, gorilla swarm trapping kind of a thing. And I'm making sure they're dark and spray painted the ones that, because I got a few of the orange ones. So it's very unsightly and it's too light. And we're coating the inside with slum gum, and then drilling a single hole, and then we're prepared to do a little cutout, excuse me. But then some of our apprentices are using tap bars on top instead of the lid with some comb hanging down on the recap.
To help get it up in there. So that's smart.
Yes.
That's a good way to prep it, you know, set yourself up for success. And then it's plug and play if you catch it early enough.
Yeah. The way I'm looking at it is I know how to do a cutout. So, and it's super easy on the colony like that. So I'm just gonna let it happen the way it is.
Yeah. Well, that works. Cause I mean, at this point I'm happy to have them however they get there. I don't care if I have to cut them out of something.
Right.
I am well versed in doing that. So I am totally fine cutting them out and sticking it on a rescue bar and putting it in a hive box.
There you go. Yeah, that sounds fun.
I just want bees.
Unless you haven't done cutouts in a while, that would be your little fun for yourself, right?
That's true. And those are easy cutouts, man. I'm not having to open up the side of a wall or go through stone or brick. I'm not, you know, 30 foot in the air on a ladder or hanging off the side of a chimney. Like, heck yeah, I can cut them out of something small container. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Right, exactly. So it's almost bee season.
It is. It is. Well, depending on where you're at, it is bee season, but it's getting close. Yeah. It's getting close for me. And for those of you who are a little further north, it will be there before you know it. You just may have one or two more of them little Arctic blasts dip down and touch you, but soon enough, you will be able to play with your bees.
How fun.
All right, everybody. Well, as always, we will put the link to this specific website where you can go learn about these little safety passage comb guides and decide whether or not it's something that you might want to use in your top bar or not. Or you can just hold off and wait until we do our review on them once we've received them and put them into practice and usage and see how that works out. And so it'll be down there. You can go check it out in the description if you want to. And otherwise, I think that's it. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it here first, or second or third. All right, everybody. We look forward to talking to you again next week. But as always, until then, be good, everybody.
And be mindful.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This Hive Jive production was made possible by amazing patrons like you. And we appreciate your support. To all our Hive Jive junkies out there, you truly are the bee's knees.